Good evening, this is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this second Sunday of Advent, Year B. Our readings today, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11, Psalm 85, the second letter of Peter, chapter 3, verses 8 to 15a, and the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise Him. The Lord is here, and we will worship Him. The Lord is here, and we will trust Him. The Lord is here, and we will honor Him. The Lord is here, and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. His name is Almighty, and He is the Lord. His name is Creator, and He makes all things new. His name is Sustainer, and He holds us in the palm of His hand. His name is Savior, and He died in our place. His name is Forgiveness, and He can be trusted to heal and to bless. His name is Holy, and He is the one that we have come to worship. His name means He is worthy to receive all we have and all we are, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we come with our broken lives and our faltering faith. We come from our world of darkness and with empty hands and empty lives. We come with nothing that will earn your love and with everything that should receive your condemnation. We pray for ourselves that your grace may make us whole. In Jesus' name, amen. We have the hymn CPWI 42, On Jordan's Bank the Baptist Cries. We pray the collect for the second Sunday of Advent, followed by our parish prayer. Let us pray. Merciful God, you sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation. Give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness. All to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, Preparing for Liberation. Preparing for Liberation. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, one of the major prophets, the first 39 chapters deal with the Lord's judgment upon the people of the southern kingdom of Judah for their centuries of idolatry and injustice. They refused to be obedient to God's law. They did not love God with all their heart, and they did not love their neighbors as themselves. Judah was therefore to be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and the people taken into exile. Our passage from today's Old Testament reading, from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11, marks the beginning of a new era for the covenant people. After many years in exile, the prophet brings word of solace to the exiles. The prophet speaks, "Comfort, O comfort my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2. The punishment is over. The Lord has forgiven his people and is soon coming to bring them back to their home in Zion. Liberation is coming. The people are to be prepared for liberation, and the way of liberation must be prepared. The way home is not an easy journey. The return from Babylon to Jerusalem involves crossing the desert, a difficult physical journey for which the people and the way must be prepared. However, the people also had to prepare spiritually for their journey back home to their God. Isaiah 40, verses 3 to 7 says, "A voice cries out, 'In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.'" A highway is to be constructed through the desert that stretches between Babylon and Judea. This is to facilitate the return of the exiles. The Lord himself will gather his people from Babylon and lead them safely home. The highway in the desert will remain as a monument to the world that the Lord has reconciled with his people. The glory of the Lord will be seen by people everywhere. The people also had to prepare for a spiritual journey. They had to repent and ask for forgiveness. They had to commit to being faithful to God's law. Their return to Jerusalem will be a glorious occasion and an opportunity to rededicate themselves to God and demonstrate their loyalty to God by rebuilding the temple. The desert is a metaphor for their spiritual state in exile. They were in a state of spiritual dryness. Their journey back to God would involve a new look at themselves, a new perception of themselves as God's chosen people, people of the covenant. And they would engage in a new exodus, not wandering in the desert for 40 years, but taking a straight route to obedience to God. All to the honor and glory of God. In the ministry of the prophets, we observe that the word of the Lord begins with judgment, but in love always ends with mercy and forgiveness. Because of God's love for humankind, judgment is never the last word. The prophet brings a message of hope and restoration to the exiles. The Lord has forgiven you. The Lord is bringing you home. There will be great joy and good tidings when God comes with power and might to free his people from foreign captors. Then God will be their shepherd, gathering his scattered flock, feeding them and guiding them. The people must be prepared to acknowledge God as their shepherd and follow where he leads them, to green pastures and still waters. In the time described by our gospel passage from Mark chapter 1 verses 1 to 8, the people of God were struggling under foreign rulers, waiting for liberation, waiting for their God to deliver them. Their liberation, however, would be freedom from sin and death. They would be called to identify Jesus as the Son of God and follow him, becoming his disciples, entering a new relationship with God as Father, Christ as brother, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Mark begins his gospel by identifying Jesus as the Son of God and inviting the people to prepare for their liberation by his coming into the world. Mark proclaims that a messenger will come before the liberator. The messenger will prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Mark chapter 1, verse 3b. John the Baptist was tasked with preparing the people for Jesus, the liberator. John, in making the way for the Lord, appeared in the wilderness, proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Mark chapter 1, verse 4. The people had to be reconciled with God by repentance and receiving forgiveness in order to be spiritually ready to receive the liberator, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. John, the first prophet to appear after about 400 years, reflected the image of the well-known prophet Elijah. He used the wilderness as his home and preached his message with power, passion, and humility. John invites the people to prepare to meet their Lord and King. His message was powerful and effective, for people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Mark chapter 1, verse 5. John's ministry was extremely successful, so successful that some people believe that he was the Savior, the Liberator. John, in humility, was quick to point out, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Mark chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. John prepared the way for the coming of Jesus. John made the path straight for Jesus. Jesus could come, and the people were ready for his ministry of liberation from sin and death. Today, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus and prepare for his second coming, we are reminded that the way to God must be made straight. We are to acknowledge our sins, repent, ask for forgiveness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, continue in a right relationship with God and with each other. In our colleague today, we ask God to give us grace to heed the warnings of God's messengers, the prophets, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Let us commit to heeding the words of the prophet. Repent, prepare for the Lord, make a straight path to our hearts. And let our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dwell in our hearts to influence our thoughts, words, and actions, liberating us from sin and eternal death. Amen. Let us pray. God is gracious. Your salvation is near. Lord, you make a road through the wilderness and desolate places to meet us. Turn our rebellious hearts to embrace the promise of your redemption. Give grace to your church to prepare your people in holiness and godliness for your coming among us. God is gracious. Your salvation is near. Lord, our moments are held in your eternity, and the glory we create is like the passing of grass of the field. Give to all leaders of nations wisdom and courage to face the longer vision. Bring in your mercy now and for the future. God is gracious. Your salvation is near. Lord, you honor your creation by your presence. We give you thanks for all with whom you share life's joy and sorrows, rest and labor. Transform our relationships to reflect your love and respect. God is gracious. Your salvation is near. Lord, in your strength, in our strength and weakness, your glory is made known. Give patient hope to all who are ill or recovering from treatment. Reach out with your healing touch. God is gracious. Your salvation is near. Lord, comfort your people in their grief and distress with the promise of your saving love. Gather to yourself all who have died. Bring us to rejoice in your salvation. God is gracious. Your salvation is near. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. And we have the hymn, Lord, Thy Word Abideth. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the costs, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may Almighty God, by whose providence our Savior Christ came among us in great humility, sanctify you with the light of his blessing and set you free from all sin. May he whose second coming in power and great glory we await make you steadfast in faith, joyful in hope, and constant in love. May you who rejoice in the first advent of our Redeemer at his second advent be rewarded with unending life. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. And we pray that you will have a spiritually rewarding week as we strive to continue to prepare ourselves not only to celebrate Christmas, but for the second coming of Christ. We end with a hymn, CPWI 36, Christ is Surely Coming.